Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Truthful Tuesdays right here on Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. I am Sandy Rogers, and it is my honor to serve as your hostess through this evening. You know, I get so excited every Tuesday. I'm really, like, taking these deep breaths right now. And the reason is because I have the absolute best guest ever. Just experts in every field that you can think of. And tonight just kind of tips it over for us. So you'll understand in just a moment. But, you know, before we get started, things must do. So first and foremost, we give thanks to our ancestors. Whew. Our ancestors are always with us. All we need to do is call on them for whatever we think we stand in a need of assistance for, and they're right there. All we have to do is acknowledge and call forth their energy into whatever situation we're experiencing. So as we go about bringing topics that are not ordinarily talked about, we know the ancestors are standing us up, and they got us up. Fronts, our backs, they got our tops and our bottoms, and they're saying it's time for us to share the truth with one another. So ancestors, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We love you. We love you. We love you. And we always honor your presence in our lives. Ashe. The next thing is we anchor ourselves in affirmative reading, and these are some daily inspirational thoughts that I have written. This particular one is called In the End, and it's just a brief one of the paragraphs out of it. In the end, I win. I carefully and cautiously think thoughts of wholeness and well-being. I think thoughts of abundance and prosperity. I think thoughts of encouragement and upliftment. I think thoughts that cause increase of every good thing. I think thoughts of life and living. I think thoughts of the Creator. Again, that's at revsandy.wordpress.com. You can subscribe to that if you would like, and they will be delivered daily to your email. So when you wake up, you can just turn over and hit your emails, and there it is for you. So tonight's show is He is a Flavor Game Changer, and we're featuring Terrence Hutchinson, and you're going to be in for an amazing educational process tonight, so just stay tuned, get your ink pens and pencils and paper ready to take your notes, and as Terrence explained to us, some of the things that he's learned along this journey of life are willing and graciously going to share with us this evening. So audience, you know you're always invited to join in the discussion. All comments are welcome, and it is our intention that every voice that want to be heard will be heard. And our call-in number is 516-531-9819. You would just press 1 on your dial to alert us you would like to speak live on air with us. And once your line is open, if you would be so kind as to put your phone on mute when you're not talking, a lot of our listeners listen in at other times or repeatedly, and we just want to make sure that we have the highest quality available for our playbacks. And if there's any shows that you would like to go back and listen to, including this one, you can do so by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Sandy Rogers, and that's SandyRoderger. Ooh, I'm glad I got through all of that. We're going to take us a quick music break, and then when we come back, we're going to have Mr. Terrence Hutchison on the line with us. You guys, we'll be right back after the music. Call them the elements, earth, wind, and fire, singing gratitude. And that's what this thing of life is all about, is giving gratitude. Ooh, welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to Life, Love, and Wellness with Sandy Rogers Show. And I tell you, we're going to be so inspired and so enriched by tonight. So the name of the show is He is a Flavor Game Changer. And so we've got some noise going on over there, Terrence. Not sure what you got. Okay.
Airplane flying over the house.
Oh, wow. All right, there we go. So I'm going to read a little bit of that, but I really want to read Terrence's bio because it explains so much more than the show description that I had written. But I just wanted to say, you know, like when you follow your assignment in life, in this life, you may find yourself in any number of places. And Terrence just happened to find himself as a certified diabetes reversal specialist and a creator of diabetic cuisine spices. And it's such an honor to have him to be on with us. He is no stranger to this field of explaining and sharing his knowledge with people. So he's the CEO and founder, again, of Diabetic Cuisine Spices and the CEO founder of Your Best Lifestyles Fitness and Nutrition. He is also a certified diabetes reversal specialist, certified fitness and nutritionist specialist, celebrity personal chef to the iconic motivational speaker, Mr. Les Brown. He's a three-time author and an exercise therapist. Terrence was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes in 2010, landing him in ICU for 3.5 days with complications of extreme weight loss, frequent urination, blurred vision, extreme thirst, loss of appetite, and he had a weight loss of 40 pounds in just 3 days. After he was released, he started on his journey of a healthy diabetic lifestyle. He was able to successfully reverse his type 2 diabetes with a proper diet and exercise regimen, and he was released from all medications, proving it can be done. That's the type of success stories we want to hear. So he's been on almost every major, it looks like every one of them, ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, and in a couple of newspapers, and he's also been on our Sister Circle Live. His topics that he loved to talk about is nutrition, diabetes, functional exercise, stress management, eating, and working out for your age. He has 1.5 million monthly podcast listeners. And so, you know, his work is being really put out into the universe. And so I'm so thankful that I had a chance to meet him through an introduction of a mutual friend of ours, and he's with us. So that's, I'm going to stop talking now. Thank you so much, Terrence, for being with us tonight.
Thank you so much, Sandy. I appreciate the opportunity to be on your platform.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So, you know, we're in this business about helping people to understand that it's not a pipe dream, that it actually can be accomplished, this whole miraculous thing of healing our bodies, when most doctors want to tell us they want to manage whatever it is that, you know, you have, whatever kind of symptoms and things. So, So that was really...
Go ahead. Well, a lot of times, you know, not all doctors, I'll say that, you know, my doctor was very instrumental on pointing some holistic ways that I can really take back control of my my health, whether it was diabetes or even hypertension. But some doctors, you know, they're more textbook, you know, whatever's ailing you, they're going to research it and then give you prescription, whatever. But I think most patients, they need to be more diligent when it comes down to educating themselves on whatever their chronic conditions are and not just take face value of what their primary physician tells them. Always get a second opinion, do your research, and then go from there. But, you know, you'll find a lot of holistic ways that can really help you to reverse certain ailments. I do believe in the holistic ways more than the modern ways as far as helping people, but I do trust in the modern ways. If you need to utilize the modern ways, treatments of helping you with any type of disease or chronic condition, then by all means, please do it. But if you can do things naturally to help prevent, reduce, or even reverse certain chronic conditions, then I definitely recommend doing that as well, to make sure that you decrease your risk of any other type of conditions that can cause harm from the from the aspect of using modern medicine. Like, there's a lot of side effects when you use a lot of modern medicine as well. So, and sometimes, you know, you find out you need a pill for the pill. So I was just looking at a commercial earlier. They was talking about if you're dealing with depression, and, you know, the side effects of depression commonly is, you know, suicide and, you know, delusional thoughts and constipation. I was like, gee, you might as well just, you know, deal with the depression. So that's what I mean, though. But you really have to research, educate yourself, and then write down your questions and concerns that you may be having. So the next time you go with a follow-up with your primary physician, you want to ask her or him certain questions that you have, you know, and then really get the type of responses that you need so that you can be very educated and wise about your treatments going forward.
Yeah, I like that suggestion with writing the notes. I've done that for a long time, and not because someone, you know, had told me or anything. It just felt like I wanted to be prepared, you know, when I go to the doctor. Mm-hmm. So if I don't remember what I've gone through, you know, like the headache that came up every other week for a month or so, you know, something like that. So it's always the little things that really build into the big ones. But, you know, a lot of doctors, Terrence, when you talk to them, will tell you, you know, like they didn't get any training or any education in their schooling around nutrition and the part that it plays in health.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I would say 15, 20 years, a lot of doctors did not get any education. Nutrition wasn't one of those components that they learned in medical school, from what I've been told, what I understand. But now some doctors are actually including that type of component into their treatments right now to try to help with their patients to overall get a better understanding of how they can, you know, eat better and exercise and stuff like that. So they are making headway in that particular field as far as nutrition, but it's not like a full course. You know, they'll tell you get more fibers in, cut back on processed foods, the basic stuff, but it is getting better right now. I've seen that myself. It is getting better.
That's good. That's good. Yeah. So this happens to be the American Diabetes Month. Did you know that? I'm sure you did.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Actually, it's National Diabetes Awareness Month. And I think it's the 16th, it's National Diabetes Awareness Day. So November is a blue month. It's a huge month for diabetes awareness. I hate sometimes when they try to schedule stuff, you know, like cancer awareness, and, you know, I understand it, but we need to be aware of these chronic illnesses, especially diabetes, like every month, you know, just don't highlight it and put a light on it. You know, we need to be diligent on it like every month because, you know, 1 out of 25 people are diagnosed with type 2 diabetes daily. And right now, according to the World Health Organization, there's almost close to 500 million people are diagnosed with diabetes around the world. And according to the ADA, around 35 million people are type 2, and 88 million people are pre-diabetic in this country. And that's growing every day, you know, and the numbers can jump up all the time, you know. And I really feel that with all the research and the money and the foundations and the organizations, you know, we should have a better handle on, you know, reducing the cost of medications for insulin or pills and everything like that for diabetics. Now, they did pass, you know, the law for if you, I think it was for Medicaid, Medicare, you know, if you are a member of that, you know, then you can probably get your insulin for like $35 or whatever, but everybody else still have to pay, you know, a little bit extra money for diabetes treatment. And so from where I look at it right now, dealing with people, some people are making a choice because, you know, they're on a fixed income or their medicine may be, you know, around $1,000 a month, depending on, you know,
right,
how bad it is. You know, it can be $400, $600. So, and people have to budget that money in. And even if they have great insurance, they still have to meet their annual premium before the budget can kick in for them to get the discount prices. So, and then insulin manufacturers, they increase their product by 500% as far as the price is concerned to make things outrageously expensive. You know, so it's a constant battle. So when you have to make choices monthly between eating food and buying your medication, you know, it can be very challenging. And well, what I'm seeing right now, what I've been seeing it, but right now, because we're in a recession and food prices skyrocketed by, you know, almost 48%, gas prices that we're in a recession, they say, and everything is going up. So people still have to make a choice. Man, I got to spend $400 to $1,000 a month on my insulin or whatever, but I still got to eat. So now they're going to the less expensive food items as far as the processed stuff, the frozen stuff, you know, the things that contain more carbohydrates and all these different ingredients and, you know, sodium and sugars that can really have a negative effect on the diabetes treatment. But they still feel like they need to eat. But see, one thing I'm noticing that the people, they want to eat, but they're not eating food. They're not eating a nutritional meal. They're not focusing on nutrition. They're focusing on just the food. And this is what's causing a lot of complications when it comes down to the treatment right now. So, but it's a catch-22. It's a very vicious cycle. And we have to do something in this country alone that really help people to be able to afford their medications, to afford great nutritional foods for their body and to go hand-in-hand with their diabetes treatment, because it's going to mean, you know, it's life or death. And that's what it is when it comes down to it, is life or death.
Couldn't agree with you more. And you would think, you know, in this great country of ours that the situation wouldn't be like that, you know, where people are having to debate or try and figure out, balance out, which is going to be the most important to them, the the medications or the diet, you know. So, it's not good.
When, you know, the Western society, our country, is a great country. Don't get me wrong, but it's big business. This country is big business. If you're injured or you suffer from a disease or chronic illnesses, you know, people get paid off that. You know, hospitals,
right,
insurance premiums, insurance companies, pharmaceutical companies, your pharmacy, drug manufacturers, supplementation industries, you know, everybody's getting paid, you know, when you start to feel ill or sick. Like, we're going into a flu season, so they're going to, you know, hey, go get your flu shot, you know, and all that stuff. We just came out of, well, we're still in a pandemic with COVID-19. We just don't talk about it anymore, but we still have to be aware of what's going on with that. So if you think about that, you know, everything with COVID-19 was like, okay, go get vaccinated. Most of that stuff was free. However, when it comes down to the pharmaceutical companies, like who are the top companies that was racing to get the vaccine. These things are big. It's big business. So
sure.
even if you go to your doctor's office for a regular scheduled visit, and you see the guy, the pharmaceutical salesman, he's coming out with the big black case. He got all the new drugs. You know, it's mm-hmm. always like that. You know, so it's like, I mean, it's just business, and everybody's getting paid off your ailments, off your sickness, and that's what it is. So when you think about society in its whole, in this country, everything is fast paced. Everything is fast food. Everything is processed. Everything is supersized, big gulped, double drive throughs. You know, all these different things like that. That is going to gear you up to, you know, oh my God, I got to get it right away. Because when you think about most people's careers, you got may have 30 minutes for lunch, or you're
right.
eating. You work in a chaotic career. And just to say, you're a police officer, most likely you're not going to have time to eat a sensible lunch or a meal. You may be interrupted, so everything is fast. You know, a lot of my clients right now, they work in the health industry as far as nurses and, you know, doctors and stuff. They're dealing with, you know, on their feet all day, running, so they're not eating as well. They suffer from backaches, knee pain, headaches. Ankle pain, swollen feet, because they work in 12, 14-hour shifts. So all these things play a huge part in their overall nutrition. So when they focus on helping their patients, they actually take the focus off of them. And that's causing them to put themselves on the back burner. That's causing their own slow demise as far as diabetes and arthritis and back pain and headaches and migraines, you know. The list goes on. So our society
right.
is always been around, you know, career, and your career can be the most volatile environment you can put yourself in, from 8 to 12 hours, depending on what your career is doing. So, you know, and then you got the stress components that comes down with your job. Your dream job can actually be a nightmare. So you got the stress component on that. Most people are munching on salty or sugary foods, and you got the soft drinks, you got vending machines, you got all these things around that's causing people to really satisfy their stress and eat their feelings. So when you're a diabetic, are you dealing with high bad cholesterol, hypertension, heart disease, kidney disease, you know, all those different things? You got to be very careful what you are putting in your mouth, or what you're putting on your fork, or what you're where you're eating at the restaurants. It's so many different things. But over time, once you start, you know, paying attention to you and your wellness, you start to make great choices every day. And that's where you're going to save money in the process, when it's going down to paying insurance premiums, going to doctor's visits with co-pays, saving money on your medication, because now your numbers are looking good. Like your A1C is down, your blood pressure is normal, you got your weight down, all these different things. They can't put you on medicine. Only thing they can do is, you know, say, hey, you can be like, hey, my blood pressure is down. It's been down for a while now. I've been doing all these things, X, Y, and Z. My A1C is normal. My cholesterol is normal. Now, most likely, they will not take you off medicine. You got to keep proving them every time you go, proving. Hey, it's been a year now. My number's still the same. Then they're going to be like, what they did to me. I'm only talking from experience. When I went back time after time again, it was like, yeah, I recommend I take you off because you're going to do the right things. You already done proved that. But that freedom of medication, it did not come without a fight. Because they want to keep you locked on that medicine. So every month you're going to the pharmacy, or you're calling that prescription in, and it's going to cost you money. So it's big business. It's just big business. you know, with COVID and then stress and then alcohol consumption, the sales of alcohol consumption went up by 73%. You know, from COVID-19, according to the Bloomberg report in 2020, April, the sales of popcorn and potato chips went up by 43-45% on both of those. And then the sale of alcohol went up by, I think it was 68%. So almost 70%, because people are drinking more. They're confused. They got to stay in the house. They're stressed. Over 60 million people lost their jobs just like that. You know, and they got a mortgage. They got a car note. They got kids in college. They got young people just didn't know what to do. So there was at the breaking point. Domestic violence went up by 12% around the country. And so when those things happen in a blink of an eye, people want, they got to deal with it. And some people, you know, obviously a lot of people went in and they purchased alcohol, just said, you know what, I'm going to take a little sip and I'm going to try to get this monkey off my back and reduce the stress. And you know, people do that, you know, people self-medicate. So it just, when you sit back and you know that you're in the wellness industry, so you see a lot of things unfold right in front of you, but you really don't know people's situation until you have a one-on-one conversation or consultation, and we have to sit back and analyze exactly what's going on in their lives right now to get them to the place where, okay, they can make smart choices now as far as their food and their money and stuff like that.
Excellent points that you bring up. And look, I helped with that 43-45% increase on them potato chips.
Yeah, I get it. I love potato chips, but I can't have them.
I know. And so I went to the doctor and had a, you know, that annual checkup, and my numbers were sky high, you know. And she was like, oh, I got to put you on pills. I'm like, no, ma'am, not like that, not that quick, you know. Yeah. I said, give me six months. And she was so surprised. She was amazed how well my numbers came down, you know. But and I told her, I said, I already knew that I had gone back to eating potato chips during that pandemic time, you know. So I know, and we all had something that we were doing that we, you know, had either made adjustments with and reduced the intake of it, or had eliminated it all together. So, that alcohol, those numbers,
Yeah, but, you know, Desi, most people, they will go for the annual, and the doctor, they're going to tell you, well, you know, hey, man, I'm going to put you on this, I'm going to put you on that. You don't have, you can tell them exactly what you just said. No, give me a few months and then I'll come back and check in with you now. If my numbers are worse and they have not improved, then we can look at the medicine. It's okay to tell your doctor no. You don't have to be like, okay, write the prescription and everything like that. And for years, like whatever the doctor said, you know, that's what it is. But you don't, you know, get a second opinion, or if your numbers say like your A1C is like 6 point something, you're pre-diabetic, right? Okay, give me 6 months, give me 90 days, which is the number of time they're going to check your A1C anyway over the last 3 months. She's like, give me 90 days, I'll come back. If I get my A1C down to, you know, 5.5, something like that, those are normal numbers. And my blood sugars are good. My blood pressure is 120 over 80, you know, stuff like that. That's really good. Then you don't need medicine. My thing is, like, they're quick to put you on the medicine. And I get that. Like I just said, if you need the medicine right away, by all means, if you have uncontrollable blood sugars or uncontrollable hypertension and you're going for your annual and your systolic and diastolic numbers are crazy, you need to go ahead and take a pill. They need to give you a pill around. You need to get that medication, you know, because, you know, something is causing your numbers to skyrocket like that, whether it's stress, whether it's sugary or salty food, processed food, alcohol consumption, maybe drugs you're taking, maybe some other medications that's causing your blood pressure to skyrocket, or maybe even, you know, you caught a cold and you took some NyQuil the night before, and, you know, you took something that's going to raise your blood pressure, and then you go in, and it's so many different components, you know. And I tell people all the time, Sandy, I said, look, when you schedule your appointments the night before, you want to fast 8 to 10 hours the night before, drink nothing but water, and then schedule your doctor's appointments like the earliest in the morning that you can get.
That's right.
And
yep.
People say, oh, you know, my doctor's appointment at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I said, why would you want to do that? Because you're going to eat food, you're going to eat breakfast, you're going to probably get snacks, you're probably going to have a Coke or a Pepsi, depending on who you are. And by the time you go do blood and everything, your numbers is going to be all out of whack, you know. And I said, so, of course, and then like me, I suffer from white coat syndrome. My blood pressure automatically is going to be up a couple of points anyway. I'm like, boy, I need to take it again.
Yeah. It's funny you would say that, because that's what I was going to say. You know, like, people, we have been conditioned to accept whatever the white coats say as the gospel truth, you know, and that's it. And whatever they say, we've got to do it. And that has been the reason that a lot of people have are stuck on taking medicines that they really don't need, you know, because that's
I mean, like I said, I got clients and former clients. They're in the health field. They're on the front lines. And, you know, I always say thank you for your service and everything you've done. But I do know from working with them, listening to them, they're working a lot of long hours. And one of my concerns is, you know, if I have to go to the doctor or emergency room or whatever, sometimes I ask the professionals there how long you've been working today. If one of them say, oh, I've been here 10, 11 hours, then I'd be like, well, how are you feeling? Are you fatigued? Did you eat? Because, you know, mistakes happen all the time. And people they may read your chart wrong, or, you know, just looking at somebody else, I mix your charts up with somebody else. And that's the thing that freaks me out, especially during COVID, because so many things, you know, people make mistakes. It's common mistakes all the time. And so, you know, I asked my doctor when I did my physical. I said, how are you feeling? He said, oh, man, I'm a little tired today. See this, and I get it. You know, I get it. But at the end of the day, you know, I still got to watch everything that he's writing down, whatever he's saying about me, I still got to watch it, because if I don't know certain words or whatever, I got my phone. I'm going to punch that up in Google and see what that means.
Good for you.
So I'm not a medical expert. However, if I see something that he wrote in my chart and I don't understand it, a certain word, you know, or a treatment or whatever, a recommendation, then of course I'm a Google that to see what that means. So, and I help people, I tell people all the time, you know, saying, if you don't understand it, you ask your doctor or you Google certain things, and then you see what that means, so you can learn the lingo and the language to help you treat yourself better along with what they're already telling you. So, I don't listen to everything my doctor said, but, you know, I've been with the same doctor for so long, I trust him. And it was very instrumental what helping me, what my ICU scares, my diabetes scared, you know, so I trust him. And but I still suffer from white coat syndrome every time I go in there and get the physical. I don't want nothing wrong with me, you know, don't find crap.
No. I get you though, man, for real. So tell us about how you got there in the first place to that type 2, staying in the hospital 3.5 days in the ICU.
In 2010, well, let's go back, 2006, I was living upstate New York. I was going through a divorce. very volatile situation with in-laws, you know, businesses involved, investments, you know, real estate, you know, and it was just happening to dissolve this marriage and dissolve the properties and the businesses down the middle. And I was 39 years old going through that. I did an uncontested divorce. I divorced it. So I was doing everything on my own. So I'm 39. I'm moving to Atlanta, and I'm moving in with my mother. And I haven't lived with my mother, man, in so long. So during that time, living with her, 39, I was feeling depressed because I'm like, man, I done lost it. I done lost everything. I'm feeling lost. I'm feeling broken. I'm living with my moms now. I'm like, depression. I was depressed behind that, and I still took a job with the state of Georgia, but I didn't have the depression symptoms of sadness and, you know, all that stuff like that. I didn't know. My symptoms were like irritability, frustration, anger, you know, alcohol consumption. You know, I had, these are the signs of depression in men. I didn't know that until I went to therapy with my career with the employee assistance program. I said, I need to deal. And she said, you know, you're depressed. I was like, nah, get out of here. I'm not depressed. You know, and then she, yeah, because, you know, I said, I wasn't crying or anything like that. She said, no, this is what you're going through. And that educated me. And so wherever that, like Atlanta is like, it's the hub really down. Everything is connected. You know, it's like Florida, Alabama. Everything is a short drive away, and I had friends and family in every city and state pretty much. So if there was a party, I was there, you know, and I was drinking. I was smoking weed until I couldn't anymore with my job. And then I was partying. I was eating horribly when I knew I should be better. I was just living a bachelor lifestyle. So I was trying to suppress a lot of the pain that I was going through. And so for 4 years, from 2006 all the way to 2010, it finally caught up with me. All the abuse that I was giving myself. I'm down at a party in Miami, at a pool party, and I started feeling weird. I'm in the pool. This is something that ain't right. So I told my friends, I said, look, man, we need to leave. They said, we just got here. I said, nah, man, we need to go because I'm feeling lightheaded. I'm feeling dizzy. I'm feeling faint. I'm feeling fatigued. I had extreme thirst. I had frequent urination, blurry vision. I didn't experience the weight loss right away, but, you know, I couldn't sleep as much. And I just thought, like, you know, I don't know. Okay, maybe I'm just going through a hangover or whatever, but I started really feeling these effects. So I said, man, I'm serious. We got to go. So, you know, we packed up. And normally a ride from Atlanta to Miami is probably about 13 hours or whatever, car ride. It took us almost 24 hours to get back to Atlanta because they had pulling over. Yeah, they had to keep pulling over for me to urinate. And I said, man, pull over. And it was like, look, you're going to have to just urinate. And they found like a gallon, an empty gallon. You're going to have to urinate in the gallon, you know, because we can't keep pulling over. But I was so afraid. So when I got there the next day, I called my doctor, got to Atlanta. I said, hey, man, you know, I need to come in. And they said, well, you know, come in tomorrow. And I was telling them my symptoms and stuff like that. So I come in the morning because they were just closing up. And so I got up early in the morning, started getting myself together, and, you know, I felt myself. I said, man, my clothes don't fit me like this. I was losing weight, like, really fast. And it's starting to freak me out. And I thought somebody actually had put something in my drink or something that caused, like, a roofie. I was freaking out. I didn't know what was going on. So got in the car, opened the garage door. I realized I didn't have no gas in the car because I've been gone for a few days. And I was staying on Panola Road, off Panola Road at the time in Lithonia. And I'm running up Panola Road in my car. I'm going across 20. I'm running red light because my doctor's office on Flat Shoals right there. So I get there, I slide in, parked sideways, left the door open, left the car running, and I ran in my doctor's office frantic because I knew I smelled death. I don't know if you ever smelled death on you, but I smelled death on me. I was dying, really, literally.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, as soon as I got in the lobby, everybody was like, what's going on? What's going on? And my daughter came running out the back, and I just fell out right there. I was, you know, and they called 911. And they came, got me, put me on the gurney, inject me with two saline solutions. Excuse me, they were checking my my skin. I was clammy, my hands was clammy, you know. And they was like, you know, the guy, he actually said, you know where you at? I was like, yeah, I'm at my daughter's office. He's like, good. And then it's shining light. And they said, we think you got you having a, you know, an episode with diabetes. And I was like, diabetes? I'm like, what is she talking about? Because, you know, diabetes for me, I'm thinking that's a whole person's disease. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Right.
You know,
right.
Diabetes. You know, I'm at the time, you know, 39. Yeah, I'm about 42 now, you know. And I'm saying, what are you talking about, diabetes? This is a senior citizen disease. You're telling me about diabetes. So they took me around the corner to Hillendale Hospital. Two traffic lights cost me $1,800. One of the most expensive ride I ever took in my life.
Yes,
you know,
indeed.
Just to go around the corner. When I got there, we in the ER, you know, they asked for information and everything. I'm calling, texting my mother, calling my mother, my brother on my back in the day. During that time, I had a Razor flip phone from AT&T. Remember those phones? I had one of those. Yeah. And the guy was like, how are you able to function? You know, you should be in a coma. You should be dead. And because my A1C was a 9.5.
Wow.
My blood sugar levels was a 1380. And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. But my taste buds were shot. So they started giving me, like, crushed ice. And that was the best ice ever. And so they took me up to the fifth floor ICU. They running the numbers. And, you know, they was like, we don't even know how you're able to communicate with us. Like, you should be in a coma. You should be evil.
Wow.
You should be dead. And, yeah, so they kept me there, feed me some crap food. You know, after the second day, they started feeding me because I couldn't eat. They were just giving me ice and medicine and poking me every hour and everything like that. And so I'm hooked up, and I started praying. I'm looking up. My family was there, and I was like, Lord, if you get me out of this one, I promise you I'm going to do right. And that was the whole idea of, I mean, the whole thing about my whole diabetes scare. And every time, like, I go to a hospital to visit somebody, our emergency room, I'll have flashbacks of that whole episode. I you know, I still suffer from PTSD. Like, if someone said, Terrence, we got to go see Stone's from the hospital, I'm like, man, okay, I'll go with y'all, but I can't stay long.
Right.
Because
right.
I remember. So during the time, those 3.5 days in ICU, when I started to get stronger, I told my girlfriend at the time, I said, look, bring me a sweatsuit and bring me my Nikes. And I started walking up and down that hallway, the flip floor. I started walking. And the one thing that really scared me is that it was five of us that checked in with complications of diabetes. I was the only one that walked out of there.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah, with the complications of diabetes. So people... Like, you can hear the beeping sounds of the machine. You can hear prayers. Like, people are really praying for their loved ones. And I'm walking past the rooms. Like, I was so numb. Like, I can hear, but I refuse to look into the rooms because the doors is open. I just refuse to look into those rooms. And I was like, man, I'm about to die up in here, you know. And it was freaking me out. So I was getting better. And when I came out, I was 40 pounds lighter. I was already 242 when I came out. You know, I was 40 pounds lighter. And I felt so small. I felt weak. I couldn't see. I needed to go get glasses. I needed to get my eye checked. I needed to go to the dentist, you know, because what comes with diabetes is blindness and periodontal gum disease. They had to check my kidneys. You know, they got to check your feet, you know, neuropathy and, you know, all these different things. And it all costs money every time. Even though you got great insurance, you got to pay for these visits. And dental insurance is no joke. And so I was like, man, I got to get better. I don't ever want to go through this ever again. But little do I know that that was going to be the start of everything I'm doing right now and everything I've done since the last 11, 12 years as far as education and building the business and the brand. So if somebody says something about diabetes or they need help, you know, most people who know me or know of me, they will mention my name. And that brokenness was when, you know, when I felt like my life was falling apart, it was actually falling into place. So the type 2 diabetes was one of the best things that happened to me in my life. And because of that, I was able to successfully reverse it, get off all medications. Now I help people, you know, around the world. They reach out for some people be calling me and they email me and say, hey, I need help with help. And so I help people formulate right questions to ask to their doctor or get them tips and strategy. I just point into my book or whatever. And so that's how the diabetes scare happened to me. And diabetes is still there. You have to really, even when they take you off medicine, you still have to make sure that you follow the principles of eating properly. Because if I say, oh, if I go back for a physical and my numbers are skyrocketed every time I go, they're going to say, no, they're going to put you back on insulin. You know, your pancreas is not producing the insulin. You know, your numbers is crazy. You know, you wake up this morning and I prick my finger, my numbers is over 300. No, you head into a coma. You're heading to a stroke. So for years, they couldn't find, you know, even to this day when I go to the physical, I said, man, you've been doing good for the last 8 years. You know, no medicine. So it was like, that's a blessing. So that's, in a nutshell, that's how the diabetes happened, because I was neglecting myself physically, mentally, emotionally, and I was suppressing the depression and the hurt and the pain. So that's how it all happened. And I was just killing myself slowly.
And so you've gone through the counseling and the therapy and learned. Did you do your own study, your own research on that, Terrence, you know, to find out what you should be eating, what you should be eliminating? Did you go to classes? How did you determine, you know, what was the healthiest for you?
Yes, that's a great question. I did all that, but you know, once you're in ICU and they diagnose you with type 2 diabetes, they start to give you a pamphlet for diabetes classes. It's called a diabetic class. And you have, okay. And insurance don't cover that. That's straight with the dietitian at the hospital. It's $100 per class, right?
Wow.
They give you that pamphlet. And then they give you another booklet, you know, that give you injection spots where you can inject the insulin, okay? Then they give you a basic sheet of the foods that you can eat and the foods that you should not eat. That's just that. So I followed that for a while, but I got so frustrated at that I was afraid to eat because I wasn't sure if my numbers is going to raise up. I said, well, if I don't eat that much, then my numbers wouldn't be high. But one thing I realized, when you're diabetic and you don't eat, your sugar drop too, and then you go into a hypoglycemic mode. So I'm searching the internet, I'm doing my research. You know, and I ran across this website called Diabetic Life. It's this whole community for diabetics years ago, and I just thought I joined it, and I just started reading and participating online, and I really realized, like, hey, they are showing people tips and strategies of how they too can reverse type 2 diabetes, and that's when I had no clue about reversing type 2 diabetes. Excuse me. Only thing I knew was maintenance because they had already conditioned me coming straight out of the hospital about maintaining. But this particular site was talking about reversal. And then when I got, I started educating myself back in school. I took courses on it, became a diabetes educator, and I did my own research on my own body as well. And I realized, like, wow, this is big business. They never said anything about reversal. It was all about maintaining. And very little information about prevention as well. And so to answer your question, yeah, I learned from what they gave me, and then a lot of it was garbage. It was trash, right? Because it'd keep you stuck and keep you broke.
Right.
And then once I started evaluating and educating myself through my own classes, and you take what they give you, and then you take what you learn, and then you formulate things for you, and that's what happened for me, you know. And I tell my clients, and I tell people through consultation, I'm like, look, man, don't get sucked in with the maintenance part, because you're going to spend almost $18,000 a year on maintaining. I'm going to show you how to reverse that money back into your check account. But it's, you have to make the necessary sacrifices as far as taking time to educate yourself about reversal, maintenance, and prevention, because it all ties in. But if you just want to stick with maintenance, you're going to go broke. You're going to be in medical bankruptcy. You're going to max out your credit cards, and you're going to bankrupt yourself just off maintenance.
Yeah, because you kept adding up the dollars. You know, it was, and I put that down on my paper. You know, I was like dollar signs all over, man. That for whatever reason, and there, I believe that there's always an underlying something, you know, that's generating this. And so diabetes seemed to be the that one pocket, you know, for people to be able to put, prescribe, you know, different medications and treatments and things like that, which are not covered by the insurance. And so that's real interesting. And it's just, you know, something to give some thought to, you know. And you mentioned about your own body, you know, taking the classes and learning what they have to tell you, but paying attention to your own body. I think that is such a key point, because you've been with your body longer than anybody, you know, and you know what makes it do this and what makes it do that, you know. Just like you were able to catch that, you know, that urination, you know, that constant like that, and, you know, you had to get a container to pee in while you guys were riding. You know, all of that, I know that really was uncomfortable. Plus, you know, it was just like not normal for you. So I just wanted to, you know, to bring those things to light, because that was really, really key. Listening to you talk about that money.
And the money, like we've talked about the pharmaceutical companies, because I remember I had best insurance, Cigna, at the time. And they put me on a new drug that just was coming out. It was during the time when Cialis was coming out, the men and sex drug for men enhancement drugs. Cialis was just hitting the market. Lantus was just a new insulin injection. It comes in a pen, like a regular writing pen, and it has 25 or 35 milligrams dosage in each pen, and you get five pens in a box. My insurance did not cover that because it was a brand new drug. The pharmaceutical company had already come to the doctor's office and said, hey, we got this new stuff, try it out. Cool, we give it to him, not knowing. It was $165 for five pins for a week. Now, $165 for four weeks, that's $660 a month. And you're doing that times 12 months. Mm. Right. Now, times 12 months, that's almost $8,000 a year just on the Atlantis. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm about to be broke. I can't afford this. I cannot afford this. And, you know, I had to take it for 3 months because they had already conditioned me that this is the medicine that you're going to have to take. And so you're talking about $8,000 almost a year. And then I was going, at the time they wanted me to come to the doctor's office like every 2 weeks to check my numbers, which was a $50 co-payment. So that's another $100 a month. So you add that on, you know, so I was like, oh my God, this, you know, this is going to really break me. And you got to remember, I'm a young guy. I'm 42, 43. And I said, this is going to really kill me. So if the disease don't kill me, then the sadness and depression of spending all this money on the disease is going to kill me, you know.
Right.
So that's when I realized, hey, man, you got to dig deep and you got to really pull yourself out of this hole. But so just imagine if, like I said, if you got 35 million people that's type 2 diabetic and they're paying this much money a year just off maintenance. And not just the medicine. We're not talking about the insurance premiums, the doctor co-pays, and the pharmaceutical companies, and the you got to go get your eye checks, you got to go to the dentist, you got to go to a neurologist. You know, like, we're not talking about those specialty visits. So when you look at the numbers are everything. So when you go to your doctor and you say, oh, the doctor said, you know, Ms. Sandy, your numbers are really high, we're going to put you on the medicine. Automatically, when you look at the numbers, you're looking at $8,000 per year, depending on what it is.
Jeez.
But if you say, let me come back in 6 months, let me get my numbers together, now you're looking at $8,000 you're saving. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So
yeah. Right.
That's it's all a numbers game. The more people they lock in on treatments and medicines and specialty visits, oh, I'm sending you to my doctor over here, I'm going to recommend. They all in cahoots with each other. It's big business, you know.
Yeah.
And
yes.
That's what it is. So you got to educate yourself. I had to dig deep, and that thing really, it was late night, early mornings. I had to really, really read and sacrifice, because it's not going to work if you don't make the necessary sacrifice. So if you think about what is your food nemesis right now, the food that you love that you know that does not love you back, and you're diabetic and you got to control what you eat. One of mine was macaroni and cheese. So I had to eliminate macaroni and cheese for a long time. I had to get rid of the ribs. I had to get rid of I used to love double whoppers. You know, I had to get rid of all these things, and you know, and so I said, okay, you got to get it together, man. So, you know, most people, they're not willing to sacrifice their favorite foods.
Right.
And coming around right now, Sandy, is the biggest food holiday in the world, which is Thanksgiving. For diabetics or anybody suffering from heart disease, hypertension, cholesterol, obesity, this is Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's. It's going to be the biggest, but the biggest challenge for diabetics and anybody who's suffering from anything, you know, is you're going to have to really get it together, because if you don't, you're going to really have an increased risk of a diabetic ketosis, being in diabetic ketosis state, catching a stroke, heart disease and all those things like that. And the heart, to be honest with you, the hospitals are filled. They're waiting on you to go and overeat. They want you to deal with your, they want you to deal with your sadness or grief. Maybe you lost a loved one this time last year. Maybe you just got laid off, or, you know, you have no money. So a lot of people, they're going to use food as a comfort. Oh, we're thankful for the things that we have, but at the end of the day, you're going to overconsume. And when that happens, it's going to cost you dearly. So sometimes when I get into the holiday season and I talk about it, it really bothers me because people are really hurting. They are going through so much right now around the world, and they want to have gratitude. They want to, you know, be thankful for everything that they have, and they tend to overindulge. And this is where a lot of the vices come into play. Sadness and depression and alcohol consumption, and it's so much. It's such a sad time, but this time of year really bothers me when it comes down to the people. But you got to educate yourself. You got to sacrifice.
Yeah, it actually starts with Halloween, you know, and all that candy, and so you get on that sugar high then. And you just ride it on out to the first of the year. But, yeah, you're absolutely right. And I really, it would do us good to start changing our family traditions and, you know, what's the favorite dish to serve and things like that. Because we are, you know, like you said, we're slowly really bringing a lot of harm upon ourselves. So,
yeah.
But I appreciate it. Can you talk a little
No, go ahead.
Yeah, can you talk a little bit about the physical component of your program and how you came about that, or you know the benefits of it?
Sure. Straight out of ICU. You know, I was always an avid person who would exercise, lift weights, and stuff like that. But when I got small, I was like, man, I had to get back into the gym. So I got back into the gym. I started going hard, lifting the weights, and I was putting on lean muscle. And then a potential client came into the gym and asked if I was personal training in the gym. And a light bulb went off in my head right at that point, like, bing, I had an epiphany. So, you know, I went and I got my license. And I started doing personal training. And so for me, I said, well, I have a story. I'm going to transform my body, and I'm going to be a walking billboard. And so I just started building lean muscle, and I started to feel better. I started to feel stronger. I had more energy. I was lighter. I was quick in my mind, quick with thinking, had better cognitive awareness. You know, everything was just clicking more than what it was when I was 240-something pounds.
Okay.
And I was like, wow. So I got into personal training. I started helping people do the same, lose the weight, control the diet, all the stuff like that. And I was having such success. Now, one thing that really hit me is that as I continue to get into medical fitness and medical nutrition, that was a whole different realm, because I'm realizing that I was helping a lot of people who were suffering from different ailments. So when I got it back in, you know, continuing education, I got into medical fitness. One thing I really realized is this: the medicine that the doctors put people on has a side effect of some of them of constipation, sadness, appetite suppression, or weight gain, a steroid component.
Right.
So just, you know, just to say, just to say you have an inactive thyroid and then all of a sudden they put you on that med and it's a steroid component, you may gain 30, 50 pounds. And you know, you're over 40, your hormones is raging, you're going through menopause. And people be like, Terrence, I ain't never been this big. And that's when I said, oh, I can do medical nutrition and medical fitness. And I got into that to really separate myself from personal training. So the benefits of the exercise for anybody is you're going to lower your weight, have a healthy weight. You're going to have better cognitive awareness. You're going to have more energy and endurance. You're going to reduce your risk of a heart attack, a stroke, obesity, diabetes, you know, hypertension. So this is the importance of physical exercise, you know, every day, no days off. Even if you're just doing yard work, if you're just folding clothes, if you're just walking in place, walking the dog around the subdivision, you have to be on point with daily exercise. So early in the start of the show, you was talking about asking our ancestors for help. Now, if you remember, if you think about our ancestors, we walked pretty much everywhere back then.
Exactly.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
We ate from the garden to the table. Like, we grew our own foods. We had fresh fruits and vegetables. We didn't have all the, back then, all the fast foods and all this crazy stuff. We died of natural causes at an older age, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we got to get back to that as well. So when it comes down to, you know, I need to walk more. We walked or we rode a bike.
Mm-hmm.
Well, most likely, if you don't do nothing else, you can walk. So the benefits of it all, just walking can increase
your
lifespan. Yeah, move your body, you know, and what you mentioned earlier when you read a little bit about my bio, you was more like exercise for your age, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
If we're 50 years old and older, we're not going to be doing all this extreme stuff that's going to pretty much hurt us. You know, if we don't do nothing else, if we can ride a bike, we can walk, brisk walk, we can go for a hike, you know, we can go on an elliptical. And that's all you need. You can do jumping jacks, whatever, you know, walking in place, whatever you want to do. But as we age, our brain shrinks, our hormones get inactive, slows down. Like for men, we go through low testosterone, all that stuff like that. We get brittle bones. You know, we had an increased risk of, you know, the vitamins and mineral deficiencies. So we have to train for our age and not try to be trying to, you know, lift a 1,000 pounds off my back or whatever at 55. You know, like, why would I do that, you know? And so
to show out.
Yeah, to show out. Like, I can do it, but why? You know?
Yeah,
so,
for real.
So train your age. And right now we're going into winter. Now we got to get into seasonal eating. So, you know, soups, chilies, you know, stuff like that, liquid diets, liquid nutrition, and to really help flush out and get into the seasonal foods. That's going to really help us, you know, maintain a healthy weight going in, because, some people still trying to lose weight from last Thanksgiving because they done ate much food. You know, as high sugar, high sodium, high carbohydrates, and if you're already a carboholic, you already know. You already taste the stuff in the macaroni and cheese and the cakes and the pie. You already know it's going down within a couple of weeks. It's going down.
And people are already talking about it and looking forward to it.
But when you think about it. I mean, you got to exercise. When you mentioned about exercise, you got to that morning, you got to exercise. Within 1 hour after you eating, go for a walk. Exercise. Burn them calories off. People don't
Good
do
advice.
That.
Good advice.
They don't. They sit around. They go get another plate.
Yep.
Because they wait all day and don't eat nothing. They don't eat no breakfast. They don't eat nothing. They're sipping on their wine, a little Hennessy. They smoke weed or whatever, you know. And then when Big Mama say, okay, food ready, we go there and we just overeat. And the average plate in an American household right now is from 8 inches to 10 inches. That's the average plate in people's houses right now. So if you pile that plate on, it's going to be up to 1,800 calories per plate because you got a little bit of everything on it. 1,800 calories for one sitting, and then you're going to eat again. That's 3,600 calories you put on. And then you got tomorrow, and you got it's a continuation.
The leftovers, yeah.
So exercise is important when it comes down. And these are the little tips I tell everybody. Exercise that day. Don't skip breakfast. Eat small meals in the course of the day. Trail mix, boiled egg, hummus, everything light. Get you some soup or whatever. And then I drink a lot of water to suppress. And then you go eat from a smaller plate. Don't overdo it. And you got to exercise.
Right.
It's just another day, but it's a holiday. You got to exercise. So the benefits of exercise is it's going to help you burn the calories. It's going to help you keep your weight down, and it's going to help suppress your appetite as well. So those are the purpose for exercise, keeping that in your head and move that body.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, thank you. And look, we're almost out of time. So what I would like for you to tell us about your books and your service, how would someone sign up or contact you to have a plan of action for you to design for them or whatever it may be. And if there's any time in that, I would also like for you just to touch on prevention because you did bring that up several times. And if you have any last thoughts on that, but tell us about your books and how to contact you and then a little bit about prevention if we have time.
Yeah, sure. First of all, I want to say thank you so much for allowing me to come on and share in your platform. I really appreciate that.
You're awesome.
Thank you. The first one is 150 Quick and Easy Recipes to Transform Your Body, Change Your Body by Changing What You Eat. That was the first book because I'm a personal chef. And I have recipes. I just tweaked them out, and I put them in this book. Quick and Easy Recipes, 5 to 8 ingredients, 10 minutes prep time, 20 minutes cook time, and then you're off and running. You don't have time to be cooking all day. You don't have time for that. The second one is 25 irresistible desserts that you can indulge without feeling guilty. So as you know, as a diabetic, we still crave sugary, sweet things. However, we can't consume all those different cakes, pies, cookies, candy. So the book, once again, is a lot of sugar-free recipes, cakes, pies, cookies, puddings, all that stuff like that, that's sugar-free, that you can still have your chocolate and eat it too, still have your cake and eat it too. And the third book is Get Rid of Diabetes Now, 7 Proven Strategies for Reversal. And that's the last book that came out a few months ago that I published because we want diabetics to know that, look, if you use these 7 proven strategies, you can reverse your type 2 diabetes, right? Or you can use it for prevention as well because the whole idea is to save you money. So the book is $20, but it's going to probably save you $20,000 during the course of the year if you're able to make the necessary sacrifices and move. Now, you can find all these on the website or you can go to Amazon. So to really create a plan of action, you can go to the website at www.yourbestlifestyles.com. You have to set up a consultation to see if we'll be a good fit for you. There's plenty of services on there. You can purposeful exercise, nutritional consultation, personal chef. If you just want me to do motivational speaking, if you want to buy spices, all those different things are on there. We also do grocery store tours where we meet you at your grocery store and we give you a rundown what you should be looking for and how to navigate through a grocery store. We also do pantry makeovers as well, where we come to your home and we do a pantry makeover. Like we'll go into your cabinets, we go into your freezers and refrigerators, and then we just get rid of things that you're using that are hidden culprits, certain like salad dressings, creamy salad dressings, condiments, barbecue sauce, ketchup, and you know, different things like that. And then give you healthy elixirs like apple cider vinegar, cinnamon, turmeric, stuff like that that you can use every day that's going to help really reduce your risk of type 2 diabetes, hypertension, all that stuff like that. Because one thing I do know for sure is that we love barbecue sauce. We love ketchup. We love ranch. We love gravies, whether it's brown gravy or a white sauce or a white gravy. We love these different things. And these mm-hmm. are the main components that sabotage it. It's like, I can't lose this last old 10, 15 pounds. I said, well, just look at it. You know, where you putting all these different things. You're eating all these different things. And, you know, so we'll talk about all that. And then the spices are available right now on the website, both diabeticcuisinespices.com and yourbestlifestyles.com. That was created during a pandemic. When I was working with Les Brown preparing his meals, I was using a lot of your favorite spices, Mrs. I ain't going to call the name out because we're not giving no shameless plug. But, and, you know, Lord, you know, he spoke to me. He said, you want you just don't create your own stuff. And I was like, you know what? Wow, yeah, I had to pull over. I pulled over on the expressway, and I was like, thank you, Lord. You know, and
yes, yeah.
I reached out to some of my dietitian friends. I said, I got an idea. And they said, that's perfect. So I went and trademarked it all, put the blends together. And now it's been close. Well, yeah, this month would be a year since we launched. And people okay. were having great success applying it to their food. It's a flavor game changer. And all healthy ingredients, no sodium. No MSG, it's gluten-free, all those different things. And you can put it on all your favorite foods, meatloaf, burgers, salads, stir-fries, seafoods, veggies. You can grill it, roast it, whatever you want to do with it. And we're in three different store locations right now, and then also Sonder Healthcare. We're partnering up with them on their senior citizens diabetes program with that, and then we also looking to partner with a few other organizations that here and around Atlanta area. They want to do like a tour around 13 counties in Georgia where they're introducing me the books and the products and stuff like that to help people with diabetes awareness and a whole share my story. So it's an interesting time for us. We're just sitting back and being patient and see how, you know, how God is moving. And it's frustrating, you know, most of the time. But I was like, you know, I trust you, God, because you wouldn't have given me all this if you wasn't going to do it, what you say you, you know, deliver on your promise. And that's pretty much it. That's it. So just every once in a while I would do an interview to talk about it, you know, for people who you know, if it's a good fit for me, then I'll do the interview, because a lot of times, you know, people don't want to talk about certain things. You know, they mm-hmm. want to talk about money all day long. They want to talk about gossip and all that. But when it comes down to the awareness and stuff like that, so I'll do the interview. But, I really appreciate you. And then I'll meet your friend. You know, I work with her constantly through her men's. Through her men's retreat she just had. I was over there, beautiful event being over there. And you know, she's been very instrumental introducing me to different people in her tribe as well. So I appreciate the opportunity to being on your show and sharing with the listeners. And I hope it really, really impact a lot of people's lives.
Well, I'm sure. I know. Like I've taken a lot of notes, and some of the information that you have provided is just mind blowing. You know, especially that those dollar bills, and that's when we know that we really need to take a look at that thing. You know, it's like cancer. You know, it's the same thing. So, you know, what's behind this that's creating these diagnoses and this dependency upon these medications. And like you say, you know, $8,000 a year for one medication, that's, you know, insanity to me. So we need to be aware, but also need to be active in our own care and not allowing someone else to dictate to you what it is that you must do, stand up for yourself and say, okay, well, let me see if I could figure this something else out before I start on some pills that you're going to give me. And it takes nerve. It takes courage in order to do that. But, you know, it's worth it. It's worth it. Financially,
yeah,
worth
know,
it.
Yeah, financially, if you're bold enough and tell your doctor no, not right now, I'll come back. If it's worsened, then we look at it. But a lot of the products that's on the shelves right now are high in sodium. Like I think 60% of all products are high in sodium right now. Anything that's in a box, mm-hmm. you know, a process, or even in the freezer, you know, so you turn the box and you turn around, look at it. It's almost 1,000 milligrams of sodium for one serving. So, you know, you want to make sure products are cheaper versus the products you're going to see on, you know, the fresh fruits and the veggies is cheaper.
Yeah.
You know,
it's calculated.
I've seen people go to the dollar store and spend $20 for their groceries because you can get, you know, a whole lot of stuff over there. They won't be the best quality food, you know, but, you know, when it's just sad, though, because, you know, I've been behind seniors in the dollar store before just recently, and they, you know, they was buying a lot of canned stuff for a dollar because they could not afford it. Because they're taking medicine for arthritis, hypertension, you know what I'm saying? It's just sad to see how mm-hmm. this country is really doing it. But the other thing is just controlling your stress and don't eat your feelings and exercise to really control the stress. And when you talk about that dollar, it all comes down to the dollar because every time you leave out this house, you're going to spend some money. And it's going to be on food, it's going to be on gas, it's going to be on something. So the dollar amount, when you start adding up, man, if I quit drinking over here this much, if I quit eating now, I'm saved this money, then you'll be able to afford the things you need to afford. But that's a whole nother thing. But the dollar amount always scares me. It always puts me on my back because you're going to grow. I mean, medical bills is the third leading cause of bankruptcy in this country. You're going to medical debt.
Wow.
Third leading cause of bankruptcy.
Wow. I believe
right?
it, though.
You're going to
yeah.
max out. So I got clients that cover for a stroke. They'd be like, Terrence, I'm going to be paying this hospital bill for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody said that to me, you know, I work with stroke victims. I'd be like, man, imagine being in a wheelchair with one side of your whole side of your body is paralyzed.
Yeah.
You can't do nothing. You can't use your fingers,
right.
your fine motor skills. Mm-hmm. You got to go to speech. You got to go to physical therapy. And your insurance is not covering all that. So it's going to be close to $500,000 and up.
And that's why it's so important. That's why right there it's so important to take your life in your own hands and learn about the things that you can do naturally, because we've been provided for with all these herbs that grow wild out in your you know, your yard and all of that to be able to maintain a healthy body, a healthy environment. So thank you so much for being with us tonight. We're going to have you back on here, too. I have truly enjoyed having this conversation, and the audience didn't get an opportunity to ask you any questions tonight. So you guys, we'll have him back, and y'all get your questions ready now. But just the best of everything and blessings to you as you go forward educating people and helping them to understand the importance of taking care of their own body temple, you know, the stress and the prevention and the eating, the exercise, and all of that is so important. And I'm going to get a couple of your books as well. So thank you once again. So let me just give this website one more time. It's yourbestlifestyles.com. And that you can find the books and all of the services that he provides. And thank you once again, Terrence. And you guys, I'll see you next week because we're out of time. But remember, it's all about life, It's all about love, and it's all about wellness. So we'll see you next week. We're continuing with the nutrition subject for the month of November. Love you guys. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Again, Terrence. Yes.
Thank you, Sandy. Bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.